As we stand, may we bow our heads to pray. Heavenly Father, as we hear these very stark words from the Epistle and the Gospel, open our hearts to the prompting and to the encouraging of your Spirit, to look at our hearts and our mouths as we journey into this week to live and speak for Jesus. And in his name we pray. Amen. Please do be seated. There should be some pictures. Yes, watch your tongue. Well, I needn't say anything else, really, need I? Because it's all there in the verses from James. And if you've got a Bible, do have the Bible open at James chapter 3. And Ruth and I'll be saying more about this next week in the All Age service too. I won't apologise for a cobbled together sermon at the last minute, but I get told off for saying sorry too much. But some stories to bring us to understand what this whole passage says in James. There was a little boy who was selling a push-along lawnmower. A Baptist preacher came along and wanted to buy it and asked, "Did it run?" "Yes, sir," said the little boy. The preacher pulled and pulled on the rope and said, "Son, this thing won't start." The boy said, "That's because you've got to cuss it." The preacher said, "Son, I'm a Baptist preacher, and I haven't cussed in 18 years. The little boy said, "Well, keep pulling, and it'll come back to you. Think about it." You see, the problem is that sometimes old habits come back to you. It takes self-control to keep it from coming back. Self-control, one of the fruits, as we know, of the Spirit. Thank you, Phil. Next picture. During the First World War, enemy spies used to hang around British pubs to hear loose talk about ship movements. Sailors would talk quite openly about their next assignments, where they were going, when they were leaving. Vital information for the German submarines. Just a few careless words would tip the enemy off, and thousands of lives would be lost. A slogan was raised to remind people of the terrible devastation that could result from words ill spoken. And there it is on the screen: "Loose lips might sink ships." The problem of careless talk was so great that the government began to put up posters like that example on the screen in front of you. I don't often tell lots of stories, but here's another one of three preachers from the same town but different churches who went on a fishing trip. It always happens in these stories, doesn't it, together. And as they got into the middle of the lake, they started to confess their sins to one another. The first preacher started talking, "You know what my big sin is? My big sin is drinking. I go once a month into a neighbouring town where nobody knows me, and I get drunk. I know it's wrong, but I still do it." The second preacher started talking, "My big sin is gambling. I went to Las Vegas last year and lost a large sum of money." The third preacher started talking, "Guys, I guess that I should have gone first." The other two preachers looked puzzled and asked why. He said, "Well, my big sin is gossiping." I tell these stories not to make a joke, but to make us think, because it's so easy, isn't it? So easy. Thank you, Phil. The Aesop, the ancient storyteller, told the parable once of a time when a donkey found a lion's skin. He tried it on, strutted around, and frightened many animals. Soon a fox came along, and the donkey tried to scare him too. But the fox, hearing the donkey's voice, said, "If you want to terrify me, you'll have to disguise your bray." It's the mouth again. The Aesop moral: clothes may disguise an ass, but his words will give him away. It could be a she, not just a he, I hasten to add. We know the saying, don't we? "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me." There's no truth in that, is there? Thank you, Phil. That's there on the screen. I wonder, as you sit there, we've had a chuckle together, but have you ever been hurt by the words of others? If I ask you to put your hand up, I dare say we all will put our hands in the air. I wonder, has the sting, and it can be like that, can't it, of a critical comment remained with you longer than you care to admit? Words do wound, don't they? And comments do cut off worse than a knife could ever. And the worst part of it all is that wounds very often can come from those we don't normally expect to be hurt by. Our family, our close friends, people we thought we knew, dare I say, even those in our church families. No one is exempt from the painful words of others. That's one of the problems that James was needing to address in his epistle to the church in chapter 3. He's concerned about taming the tongue. Sometimes we say things we don't really mean to say. Again, I won't ask you to put your hand up. I'd have mine up all the time. Just perhaps you've seen the following questions from lawyers, which apparently were taken from official court records around the nation. Words they didn't exactly mean to say. Was it you or your brother that was killed in the war? Think about it for a moment. The youngest son, the 20-year-old, how old is he? Were you alone or by yourself? Do you have any children or anything of that kind? Whatever that's supposed to be. Were you present in court this morning when you were sworn in? Things that were taken from court transcripts. Things that even lawyers didn't quite mean to say, I guess. All these questions asked by well-meaning lawyers, simply trying their best to be clear and to be concise and digging a hole even bigger for themselves. And although slips of the tongue can be funny, far too often they are anything but funny. There was a journalist called William Norris. He was often quoted because of his unique ability to put into rhyme sayings that were worth remembering. And this piece is often quoted from his work, so I'm going to read it twice. If your lips would keep from slips, five things observe with care. To whom you speak, of whom you speak, and how and when and where. Let me read it again. If your lips would keep from slips, five things observe with care. To whom you speak, and of whom you speak, and how and when and where. So much in that little rhyme. I could have said that and sat down almost, couldn't I? Thank you, Phil. Can you put the next slide up for me? Just read that through as I carry on speaking. The taming of the tongue, dare I say, the taming of your tongue and mine, is anything but an easy task. Let's go, you thought I'd never get there, to the passage which was read to us earlier by Joy. Thank you, Phil. And click once for me. Thank you. Yes, looking at verses 1 and 2, talk of the tongue being a dangerous tool and how it's a risky business using words. It is a dangerous tool. It's a small thing in our mouth. If I said, hold your tongue, or how many children do that when you ask them to hold their tongue? It wouldn't hurt to do that at times, would it? But James here, is mostly referring to teachers and the responsibility that the likes of I and Ruth, Hannah, Paul, others have. Once the toothpaste is out of the tube, you can't get it back in, but more about that next week at the All Age, just to whet your appetite. So verses 1 and 2 tell us the tongue is a dangerous tool. And then if we look at verses 3 to 5, thank you, Phil, if you could click for me again, we see the tongue's power if you're following me through with a Bible open. James warns there all readers about the tongue's power in two very vivid pictures of horse and ship, just so we can get an idea. A tiny movement sets a new course, even when a ship is battling against a gale. The tongue, as we'll know, is very tiny too, but it mustn't be taken by its size. The tail can wag the dog, but a wagging tongue can bring peace or it can bring conflict. Of course, James isn't saying we should take a vow of silence. The tongue is powerful, but it doesn't make it bad in itself. If we believed all power was evil, for example, we'd have to scrap cars, computers, smartphones, hallelujah, planes, whatever it might be. But the tongue's power is rather like nuclear energy. Think about it for a moment. It can do a lot of good if used properly, but can kill and destroy if the power is abused. I'm trying to throw out lots of examples as we go through. Look at James' next words there about a forest fire, making the point. Fire is vital, has been to the human race for many centuries. Like a horse's bit or a ship's steering gear, it has an important job to do. But unlike a horse's bit or a rudder of a boat, it's not just mighty powerful, but mighty dangerous too. James, I think, takes us on an imaginary picnic. Everything going swimmingly, the fire's been put out, but a bottle is left behind. The sun's rays catch the glass. The grass smoulders and smokes, and a tiny flame finds a twig, and soon fire is there and fire engines are racing to the scene. It's all so silly and unnecessary. But then, folks, isn't the careless word just like that? A tiny tongue can cause great harm. Can anyone control its power? Thank you, Phil. Well, if anyone were in doubt from the previous verses, James continues with verses 6 to 12, making himself here very crystal clear. He sums it up linking fire to hell. The word Gehenna, and you'll probably know, that was the name Jews gave to the rubbish tip, which was outside of Jerusalem, which continued to smoulder as more and more rubbish was poured into it. That's where their rubbish was destroyed. It really is, if you think about it, a grim picture of the world of words. Word power can be like hellfire. Our tiny tongue threatens the whole of life when nothing is safe. Verse 6, it says, it corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself on fire, set on fire by hell. See, the tongue, I think he's linking there, is like a match which sets the Catherine wheel, we're not there yet, but on fire, sets it aflame when you think about a firework. He's searching, I think, James here, for more vivid ways to describe the tongue's power to do evil. He hints that the tongue is crafty as well as powerful. Its words as smooth as an ambassador's United Nations speech and as destructive as that ink stain which works its way through that best jumper that you own into all the fibres and you can't get it out. Somebody has said once that in nature, man is boss. Think about that for a moment. You name it, he tamed it. James is sort of hinting at that in those verses too. But privately, man is at the mercy of the slippery tongue. I could say anything about the presidential elections in America. What's going on in this country? Just look at the slips of the tongue that happen and the fallout from such slips. We are at mercy of the slippery tongue. In fact, James says that a tongue out of control is not a nuisance, but a deadly menace. Look at verse 8. A restless evil, deadly poison. Once a careless word escapes my lips or escapes your lips into maybe a family conversation, It can almost be uncontainable, and you'll know what I mean. It's like a domino effect. These are strong words from James, and as I said, Ruth and I will be talking a bit about them more at the all-age service next week, but do come back anyway. Is James going over the top? I don't think he is. The answer, I think, comes like a cold shower. He says that if we think he's overstated his case, just think how you and I use our tongue and how we will use it this coming week, wherever we find ourselves on our front lines. Verses 9 and 10. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. James's words, which cut to my heart, and maybe they do to yours too, as we think about what we're going to say to people, not just today, but in these next few days. We sing loud hymns of praise, then criticize the sermon, the music, our neighbor, whatever else it may be as we walk home. Have you done that? Have I done that? We use our tongues to praise God, and the same tongue to abuse people made in his image. Do we need, folks, any other proof of the tongue's power for evil? And James's parting shot is that it is unnatural too, verses 11 and 12. If everything behaved like the tongue, what chaos there would be, in essence. We'd be like Alice in Wonderland, never sure about anything. I heard of an elderly man who had serious hearing problems for a number of years. His family tried again and again and again to convince him to go and get his hearing tested and get a hearing aid. And finally, he relented. He went to the doctor, was fitted for a set of hearing aids that allowed him to hear 100%. A month later, he went back to the doctor. The doctor said with a smile, "Your hearing's perfect. Your family must be overjoyed and really pleased that you can hear again." The old man replied, "Oh, I haven't told my family yet. They still think I can't hear. But I just sit around and listen to their conversations. I've changed my will 3 times. It makes the point, doesn't it? I'm sure none of us would do that. All of us say things that we later wish we did not or would not have said. James doesn't waste paper, does he, in these verses, on a neat conclusion, but it's all too obvious. A simple, straightforward message. Christian, beware your tongue. And I'm saying that to me as well. He could have said, make sure your brain is engaged before putting your mouth in gear. Give God, folks, your tongue this coming week and your heart each day, and ask him to use you to be a blessing to others. And we'll hear more next week. And just before I finish, the final slide, I came across this. I may have put it in a notice sheet before. But before you speak, think. Is it true? Is it helpful? Is it inspiring? Is it necessary? Is it kind? Let's bow our heads, shall we, as we sit. Father, by your Spirit, you challenge each one of us through your word. As Jesus challenged the priests and temple leaders of the time when he walked this earth, so you challenge us today to take care, to beware of using our tongue in a way that does not build up or encourage, but criticizes and pulls down. Lord, help us to use the fruit of your Spirit of self-control this coming week to seek to encourage and to praise others and you day by day. And in your name we pray. Amen.